Stephanie, I'm going to tell you this, that in 2 Peter, and this is not for tonight, this is just for you when you're concerned about this person, I'm going to give you this scripture. It says, for this, you know, it gave us the scripture where it talked about, it says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God in heaven were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water. Willingly, they're ignorant. So your friend is willingly ignorant, okay? And I'm not sure which way. I took this out of the paper today, and I thought, what an awesome thing. Did anybody see this today? Did you read in the fine print, down at the very bottom, listen to what it says. If you would like to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, call. Isn't that all? I mean, here it is, a whole page taken out, and you know, do you know who it is on the bottom? It says Holly Lobby. Holly Lobby.
But you know what I was thinking? They probably couldn't put Jesus on there because they wouldn't.
They got Jesus on there if you would like to know Jesus.
Sure, Jesus.
Oh, no. In God we trust. You know, I thought it was here. You know, I think about this. We see so much in the newspaper, and here's a full ad, in God we trust. And then in the bottom it said, if you would like to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. What an awesome statement that here found in the Flint Journal, but it gave you the thing that Ronald Reagan said, and that was, America needs God more than God needs America. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Amen.
Bless that, Holly Lobby.
You know, I thought that was awesome to see that. And then, like I said, the songs that you were singing tonight, Sister Wilbanks, you know, I thought as I looked at these and as I talked to a couple of people in the last couple of days, and I thought to myself, and then the brother stood up and said that the disillusion, how disillusioned for those that have been disillusioned. Listen, religion has disillusioned many people. God has not disillusioned, but religion has disillusioned many, many people. And if you have your Bibles, I want to look at just a couple of verses tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I know you want to go see the fireworks, so I don't want to keep you, you know, after dark. So, you know, it's I've got plenty of time. Is that what you're saying? Praise the Lord. I'm going to do that. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, I want to look at three verses of scripture found there in Matthew, chapter 9, beginning with verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Father, I thank you for your word, which will not return void, in Jesus' name. I want to just look at just two little statements there. But one statement is, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Believe ye that I'm able to do this. And then, according to your faith, be it unto you. I don't know about you, but my Bible is a red letter edition. Both of these that I said to you were found in red letters. And we know that the Word of God said that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it said, verse 6, I believe it is, where it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, these came to him crying, you're able to heal us. You're able to touch our eyes, you know. And we as Christians need to come to that place, I believe, also where the scripture says, to him that believeth, all things are possible, right? Isn't that what it says? To him that believeth, all things are possible. If we can look at a man by the name of Abraham being 100 years old and going to have a baby, you know, going to father a child, and a woman that was 99 and believing God to have a child at 99, I look at these things and I think to myself, the world says that things of that sort are impossible. But yet my Bible says, if I can believe, all things are possible. Right? I mean, why else would you pray for somebody that when they say the doctor gave them a report, that this report says cancer, this report says heart, this report says that? Why, if you did not believe, why do you even bother? Think about it. Why do you even bother to get the oil, anoint with oil, lay hands on them, and praying for them if you have no belief into the fact that this is going to happen? Why are you wasting time? Why are you going through the motion? Why are you doing those things if you don't believe that it's going to happen? If you don't believe Jesus is coming, why do you live like you live? Why do you come out from among them? Why do you not touch the unclean thing? Why do you do these things if you don't believe that Jesus is coming? Without faith, we've never seen yet. We haven't seen the streets of gold. We've not seen heaven. We've not seen these things, but yet we believe. Why? Because of something that when we read his word, there's something that comes alive in our inner being. Isn't that what it is? It comes alive to us. When we read the word, it isn't just a white with red and black printing on it. It's life, or it's not life. If we don't believe it, then what is it? It's just nothing but a book, isn't that right? If we don't believe that this is the word of God, then all it is just a book, a fairy tale. Remember when you were in the church, I said this morning some things about when you were growing up in the Sunday school class. It said, little feet, be careful where you go, little eyes, you know. But think about this. We heard the story of Jonah in the belly of a whale. We heard the story of Samson between two pillars. We heard the story of Elijah going up to heaven in a fiery chariot. We heard the story after story when we were a child or we were younger, and these things were taught to us. Now, whenever our children grow up, we as parents have got to realize, we have got to have faith in the fact that the word says, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll not depart. Do you not think that man that raised his child up and that child said, give me my inheritance, and he gave him his inheritance, and the child went out and he squandered his inheritance, he spent it on riotous living, it says, and yet then one day, think about it, one day he remembered. Think about that word that was print in him when he was a younger man here. That word began, that it put into his heart, it began to grow. It began to get to, from this place to this place. And he realized there was something to this fact that if I was in my father's house, even the servants eat better than I'm eating in the pig pen. And what did he say? I will arise and go to my father's house. But yet you got to remember, by faith, the man walked out on the hill looking for the prodigal son, looking. Can you imagine? And I've said this before, that when that sun was even nothing more than a dot, a speck, if you want to say, in his sight, he began to say, you better get ready, my son's coming home. You better get ready, my son. You see, he had the seeing, he had the expectancy, he had the faith. You and I have an even greater thing. We have the written word that we've hid in our heart that says we can have our seed and our seed's seed. We have the promise, people. So by faith, we lay hold of the promises of God. Why? We've not seen God. We've not seen these things. But yet, by faith, we reach out and we get a hold of them. And when we get a hold of them, we don't let go of them. When people come along and say, oh, it's not going to happen, don't be deceived, you see. What it is, the enemy's trying to get you to lose your faith. He's trying to get you to lose your sight in the Word. He wants you to get double-minded where you think, you know, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. Listen, the Word said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You've got to be rooted and grounded. You've got to set your hope on nothing less than Jesus Christ. You've got to set it on the Word. It said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. You've got to hold on to the Word. You've got to hide it. You've got to hold on to it. You've got to study it. Study to show thyself approved. You've got to be to the place, wouldn't it be awesome, like Enoch. Enoch so pleased God, he was no more. He just pleased God. He just pleased God. God was found somebody he could talk to, somebody he could converse with, somebody that he enjoyed being with. So he says, come on, Enoch, I'm taking you home with me. You know? Isn't that what it says? By faith, Enoch so pleased God. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Rahab. You know, by faith, these people so pleased God. By faith, this man said, sure, you're able to heal me. You're able to open my eyes. You know, by faith, we walk this way. We don't walk by sight. You know, if we walk by sight, we'd go get the coffin and lay it out someplace and crawl into it sometimes. You see, we walk by faith. We walk by faith in the word that we read, the word we've hid in our heart, the God that we serve. He's a living God. He's not a dead God. You know, you can't take me and show me his ashes. You can't take me and show me his bones. When Bonnie and I first got married a few years ago, we went to this church, and they had the name on the church was Saint So-and-so. And we went in, and here's a glass entombment. And Saint So-and-so was laying there. You know, Saint So-and-so. I don't know what it was. I don't remember. But her and I at that time were not born again, you know. But now that we look back on that, I do, and I look back and I said, you know, they can take you to Saint So-and-so, and he's right there in that tomb, encased in that glass. But you can't take me to Jesus and show me where he's encased. You can't take me to the cave where they rolled the stone in front of it. You can't take me to show me the box that they wait for the people to decay, and then they take their bones and put them in the box to store them. You know, you can't take me and show me his bones. You can't take me there. Do you know why? Because his father said, come up here until I make your enemies your footstool. And he was seen. It was recorded in Corinthians that he was seen on the face of the earth for 40 days, and he brought all of the others with him. He was showing off what he could do. You know? And we read it. And why do we believe it? Because we have faith in the Word, right? We have faith in. If we didn't have faith in the Word, why are we here? You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be smart tonight. I'm just saying, why do we call ourselves Christian? Why do we gather in a church? You know, if we did not believe what this Word says that you have on your lap or have by your side, you know, if you didn't believe it, why go to church? You know, why do all the things that you do if you don't believe it? when he says, be it unto you according to your faith. Not according to my faith, but according to your faith. How much faith do you have? Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I guess I could say, how much word do you have? How much word have you hidden? Isn't that what faith cometh by hearing? Isn't that what it says? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing cometh by the word. So really, it's how much word have you hid? How much faith, how much of the word have you hid? Think about that. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now you say to me that you believe the word. You say to me that you're born again. You say to me that all things are possible to him that believe. Then I would say to you, there's nothing impossible to him if he can believe. Nothing impossible if you can believe. How strong is your faith? You see, when my son started at 16 years old working out with weights, you know, I remember him laying on the bench, and I remember him pressing the bar with the weights on the end. You know, I remember those times when he first got, you know, started, you know, being a scrawny little kid, you know, at 16, he was tall and kind of lanky. I can remember those times. But you know, as time went on, he went from benching 50 or 60 to benching 120, from benching 180 to benching 400, you know. He built himself from nothing to 400. We, as Christians, should be building ourselves up from nothing to total faith in him. And they love not their life unto death, being committed to him. Be it unto you according to your faith. My wife and me, we have discussions. You know how the Bible says, come, let us reason together? We reason together sometimes, her and I do. And we reason to some degree about why she doesn't get healed, or Martha doesn't get healed, or Vern doesn't get healed, or Jan doesn't get healed, or Sharon doesn't get healed, or somebody doesn't get healed immediately. Her comment is that we're not fasting and praying enough. My comment is it our faith? And she says, well, I guess I don't have enough faith to get healed. I didn't say you didn't have enough faith, did I? But that was, you know, we discuss this, don't we?
Very much.
Very much. Thank you. You see,
but
we...
It never lies with the Lord.
It never lies with the Lord. Because if you read this, and here again, I have to go to this, and I have to go, and he said he healed all that were afflicted, did he not? He said he healed all their diseases. Isn't that what the word, I'm just putting it out here that it said that, you know, and it says in Peter, 2 Peter, somewhere there he says, by my stripes you were, not are, not will be, but you were healed. Isn't that what it says? We were. If I read, and here again, I'm not an English major, so don't hold me to my English major. But were means it's already past. If I'm right, you English majors, look at the word were means already done. Now, if we were healed, then I already am healed. Then the problem is I have not seen it. I'm trying to go by, the problem is I want to look at it with my eyes, and what I don't want, I have to realize something. I must look at it with my spiritual eyes. Because the word says in Galatians, to walk ye in the Spirit. So I have to walk in the Spirit. If I walk in the Spirit, then I don't fulfill the lust. I don't fulfill what the body goes by. I walk in the Spirit. And I'll take your question later. You see, what I have to do is I have to realize that when I'm walking in the Spirit, then I have to look in the Spirit, not looking in the flesh, right? So when I look and see these things, then I'm going to have to come to this and go by this. I can't go by what I see, what I feel, because even the man called Smith Wigglesworth said he was not moved by what he saw, but he was moved by what he knew, right? Thank you, Jesus. Now, what do you know? What you know is what you've salted away, right? What did he say? Your word have I hid that I might not sin against you. So you see, when we see, we have exceedingly great and precious promises, right? Promises. If I look at this and I say to you, I'm going to look at a promise, and I have a promise. If I have a promise, and that promise is that I take a promise, I write a check. Write a check, right? I'm writing a check. I write the check out. I owe you, or I'm going to pay something. That check that I wrote out to me is a promise of payment, right? It is a promise of payment. That check is a promise that you will get your money, right? Now, if that is a promise of you getting your money, until you take that promise to the bank and cash that check, you do not receive the actual payment. You have a promise, but until you take it to the place to cash it, you don't actually have that cash in your hand. You have the promise, but you don't have cash in hand. Until you go and cash it, then the cash comes in hand. So if I look at that in the realm of the Word of God, and I take the Word of God, and the Word of God says, call the elders of the church, be anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save and shall heal. In Mark it said, the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have the promise here, but until I cash the promise in, then it's not going to get the payment. Until I take the promise and put it to his bank and collect where he pays the promise, I don't have it in hand. And by sometimes, maybe the bank has to wait till the money comes in or till the check clears before you get your money. Sometimes you have to wait, or you might have to postpone until God's promise comes true. You see, everybody's not always healed immediately. If you go and read, some of these people were healed as they went, not just right now. There's miracles that happen, but some of them were healed as they went, right? So So often then, because we don't receive like right now, then the enemy comes in. Well, you know, do you really think that the word meant that? Do you, you know, you're just not worthy, you know. If you weren't healed immediately, you just weren't worthy, you know. You've got to get worthy to get healed. You know, the enemy comes in, and that's why it says in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, casting down those imaginations, you know, just like my brother and me were talking, he said this morning, he gave me the Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You know, think of if we don't know the word and the enemy comes in with a suggestion, or he comes in, you know, he's not, listen, I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to wait till you get down the street, till you get in the car, till you get someplace. He's going to hit you as soon as he can hit you. He's going to come at you and say, you didn't get healed. You know, you still got that pain in your back. You know, you still got that, you know. He wants you to be drawn to what is taking place so that he can get your eyes off your faith, off what the word says, so he can entice you and pull you away and draw you back. Because the word of God tells you that the thing with Eve, he said, the devil did beguile me. He did deceive me. And by deception, he's going to influence a whole bunch of people, because the word tells us in the last days, he said, if it were possible, even the very elect or elite would be deceived. You see, if you don't know the word, how easily it might be to get you deceived, because he's going to come and whisper in your ear and he's going to tell you things. And if you don't know the word, you can be pulled away. You know, think about young Christians that come in and people say things to them. You know, how many young Christians have been offended because somebody said something that offended and they're out the door and they never come back and nobody ever goes after them. Nobody ever checks to see why they went through the door. Nobody ever bothers with them because they just came in and got saved and they left. You know, we allow. What is it? Was it Kenneth Hagin or John Hagee made the comment that the Christian army is the only one that buries their wounded alive? We just leave them out there. When they're wounded, we just leave them out there. We don't go to see, can we do anything? Can we help? You know, well, so-and-so said, listen, you know, I don't mean this in a blunt statement, but how many so-and-so say something that offends people at different times? You know, everybody can be offended sometime. Somebody might have a bad day and might say something that offends you. You know, they didn't really mean to offend you. They just having a bad day. And if you take it, it cuts, and you just play on that cut and pull it, you know. My Lord, if we will allow words to hit to words, we can all be destroyed. You know, what hope is there for any of us if words could kill? You know, you used to sing a song. I know you guys don't remember any of this. Only us older people do. That sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. You know, it's true. You know, what does name calling? You know, name calling was one thing. When somebody picked up a stick and hit me, then that hurt. You know, when somebody threw a rock at me and hit me, that hurt. But somebody calling me names, you know, back when you were young, oh, there was, that's fine. You ready to go at it when somebody called your name. You know, but you know, as you get supposedly, you see the quote signs? Supposedly, as you get older, you mature, and names don't affect you as bad as the stones and the sticks, do they? Huh? Right. They're not supposed to, are they? Right. Names will, I mean, don't get me wrong, some names will cut you to the quick sometimes. But listen, you can go to the
the one that says, I'll apply the healing balm. You know, and you can get over this thing. But you see, if you don't get over it, you harbor it, it festers and grows and grows and grows till that little old thing, just like the pearl, it was a grain of sand when it started, but look what it is when they open up the shell. You see, if we're not careful, we have to remember something. The Word can heal us. The Spirit of God will heal us as we go through. In Christian experience, it's time to get over that. You know, if it happened a week ago, it's the past. If it happened a year ago, it's the past. If it happened 5 years ago, it's the past. If it happened 20 years ago, it's the past. I'm closing here. I just want to, I'll tell you this story as I'm closing. I heard a minister telling about was telling a story about a man that went to church, and when he was in the church, the son of the pastor pulled a knife and was going to cut this man. And this guy stepped in front of him, and the pastor sided with his son. And this man got offended. I mean, what man wouldn't side with his son at first till he knows the details, right? But anyway, this man got offended, and he went out of church. And for 20 years, he never came back to church. For 20 years, he never contacted anybody. People didn't even know where he was for 20 years. And a man started praying for him. And as he prayed for him, one day, think about this. This is so awesome. It just excites me. But one day, this son of the pastor had gotten saved, had got his life straightened around. The one that pulled the knife, the one that was ready to kill, got his life straightened around and was going someplace. And of all things, stopped at this gas station and little dinky hamburger joint up in the hill someplace. Never been there before. Walked in and seated at a table was the man that had been offended and had not went to church or seen anything for 20 years. And this man, this boy that was ready to kill with a knife, went to the table and seen him, and he called him by name, and I don't remember the name right offhand, but he said, I've been looking for you for 20 years to apologize to you. And here sits this man at the table, having been offended, having run out of the church, having never came back, having got away, let nobody know where he was. God knew where he was. God knew what time he'd be there. God knew because people were praying, and this man walked into the restaurant at the very time he was supposed to be there. This man was at the table at the very time he was supposed to be there, and he got down on his knees in that restaurant and asked that man to forgive him. All things are possible. All things are possible. You know what I'm saying? If we just believe and pray. After all those years, God knew where he was, and he cared about him, and he came back to the Lord.